Hello, and welcome to the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where small press and beyond makes a lot of noise. It's episode 129, and I'm Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mask from Mars, and joining me this week, the creator of the webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And the man they call the William Shakespeare of comics. Oh, hang on. No, I got that wrong. The William Baldwin of comics. It's Tony Esmond.
I didn't think you'd make that through. Because I was giggling still silently on mute because Dan just said that he masturbates on public transport.
And
you actually made it through the intro. I was quite proud of you there.
I know. Perhaps it's that time of year where finally the year took its toll and I'm dead inside.
And if you're dead inside, you might enjoy comic.
Hang on. Oh dear. Yes, it's been a long year, but thank you to everyone who has listened to and gotten involved with the show over the past year. We do really appreciate it. We've experienced a lot this year, and I don't know where the year has gone. I don't know about you two.
I know.
It's hammered by.
It's hammered by. I've never heard that phrase.
That's one of the things is like about starting the comic. Start that fucking comic, because the time goes so quickly. Before you know it, you'd have done pages and pages of it.
Yeah.
Stop putting it off. Do it.
Go. Listen to this man.
That's the motivational talk.
Yeah, you're Mr. Motivator.
Yeah.
Me and Dan both know
Harold's
about that.
Mate went out with Mr. Motivator's son.
Who did?
Was that?
Harold's mate.
Really?
Mr. Motivator's son. This is something he told me one of the first times I met him, actually. It's quite an interesting little factoid.
Is that we can be friends now.
Yeah.
What? Did he say it in that tone?
Yeah.
We can be friends now. Oh dear. But yes, and thank you to all our friends out there, because we really appreciate the support and all the responses, discussion and interaction that we've seen and had with our listeners, actually, and just basically anyone we meet at conventions has been hugely positive. Have we started a Facebook group this year? We have, haven't we?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so yeah, so all that's positive. But you know that underneath all the makeup, designer clothes, and expensive aftershave, we are just your regular grumpy old men.
Such a wanker.
Hey?
Written this bit out, haven't you?
No. I'm just, I am not possibly speaking from a script.
I'd say because that was good. That wasn't from a script.
Freestyling.
What? Yeah. So you don't believe. I mean, you're like right. I am reading it from a script, but. Unbelievable. That's annoyed me already, and this week we've decided to probably like annoy each other and a lot of people and just unleash some of our grumbling nonsense onto the masses. Yes, it's going to be our grumpy old men episode, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like the time for Scrooge, isn't it? That's going to be us.
Yeah.
It is. It's sort of like we worked in the polar opposite. We've been really positive, and now we're going back to the way that we really are.
I watched Scrooge the other day. You know, the Bill Murray one.
Yeah, how does that hold up?
It's very 80s, but like I've very much come down on the side of Scrooge, because he seems to get so much shit and grief off like these ghosts that it drives him absolutely insane to like he just wants to give his money away to kind of get it over with. Whereas a lot of the other adaptations of it, he sort of seemed like he has a change of heart. Mm. Whereas like Bill Murray's portrayal, he just goes absolutely mental. But good film.
Yeah, there you go. Something for the kids.
Yeah. You gotta be careful those 80s ones, because sometimes they drop in F and S bombs.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. That's a PG.
When has that ever bothered you, Dan?
No. Well, since I became a parent, primarily.
Yeah.
Which is quite ironic, considering you're the one that's dropped more C bombs this year than anyone else.
Yeah.
Become quite a popular aspect of the show.
I've not done it now for two or three episodes.
Yeah, that shouldn't be seen as an achievement, Dan.
Yeah, well done you.
It feels a bit kind of gauche to. Just keep dropping them in now.
Very 2017.
Gosh. Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you what, he's the classy one of this show, isn't he?
Yeah, that's his word for the week.
To not say...
Oh, I'll tell you what, we walked into that. Absolutely walked into
you
it.
You were egging him on.
Oh, dear. That's enough to make me grumpy. But you know who never makes us grumpy?
Here we go.
And that's comichouse.com. Hey! Yes. It may be the end of the year, but I'm not going to stop knocking them out of the park.
Your
A-game. Yeah. Nice. I'm always on the A-game. Yes, comichouse.com is the place to go to find a huge range of awesome small press and independent comics and graphic novels. And beyond. There's a lot of IDW stuff, and I think there's a lot of Star Trek stuff going up at the moment, isn't there?
I was reading some Transformers stuff the other day.
Oh, nice. I haven't read Transformers comics in years.
I hate to admit this, I've never read a Transformers comic.
Sign us up the app and where you go.
There you go. So there's all of that and more, and also on the website there's a focus. There's currently a focus on the writer Simon Burks, and their featured publisher is the small press powerhouse Carnival of Sexy Fun, known as Madius Comics.
Nice.
pretty hard to ignore, I think we can all agree. In the most wonderful way.
He said it's nice, thank you, didn't he? Nice of him.
And that they are fighting the good fight for small press comics and unleashing loads of books every year. So, and I'm sure 2018 is going to be exactly the same for them. And 2018 is going to be a big year for Comic House as well, I can tell. So, so if you want to check out Madius and more, then head to comichouse.com. And if you want to read them digitally, then you can sign up to basically what is the Netflix of indie comics, the Comic House app, which we've been using and is ace and lovely. And there you'll be able to read any of the growing catalogue for the price of just £3 a month. So, although you could quite easily just spend more than that on, well, that's the price of a lunch.
I'm waiting for the first convention of the year where someone says to someone at a stall, are you on Comic House? There's going to be an interesting sort of dynamic growing up, isn't there, I think now?
And I think when Pete joins us, Pete from Comic House joins us in a few weeks, we should put that to him.
Good question.
That is a very good question. But anyway, don't waste any more time. Sign up to Comic House and
Get on it.
Yeah, comic. Whether you're a comic reader or a comic creator, just get on it. That's all we got to say. We have the most professional sponsorship ads in the game.
When you say the game, do you mean prostitution?
Yeah.
Okay, just so we're clear on that.
Yeah. That's the only game in town.
Yeah. We play hardball.
Easy
hard
now.
Balls.
Oh, damn. Duff. You were doing so well being the upper class one, and now look at you. C-bomb, and now you're acting like a tramp. Anyway. As you can see, we're all getting a bit feisty, and that's because we've been promising it for a little while that we're just going to have one show where we just whinge. Because what a lot of people out there don't realise is before we record, there's about 30 minutes of us just bitching about the world.
I think I'm the only one who gets it out there in written form, don't I?
Oh yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm the only one. I sort of have a little bit of a rant here and there, and I noticed that Chris Sides wrote a blog up today, and he called me Tony McRanty or something. I think he called me, and I kind of like that. But you two don't. I don't really see it that much from you two, especially not you, V. I suppose.
Yeah. Seems to be. I don't know if you've got those thoughts and you don't put them down, or you what? But
you hold the microphone to his ears. It's just like a Muppet banging cymbals together.
Basically, after this year, I'm currently my mental state. if you've ever seen the film Falling Down with Michael Douglas,
is that bad?
I'm currently in that point where I'm sat in the traffic jam.
Oh, okay. Fucking hell.
In the rear view mirror.
I'm on the pier of Robert Duvall. That's how far along.
Yeah, I'm in the burger house.
I knew you could say that one. Just making people throw up. Oh dear. No, but it's been a long old year, but this is going to be funny. This isn't just us going to be like firing bombs at people left, right and centre, because that's not what this show's about.
It's an in general terms thing, isn't it?
An extended diss track over an hour and a half. There's right and wrongs to insulting everyone we know.
Leading call. Here we go.
Oh dear.
It's weird. I started reading up on a couple, Bleeding Cool, and there's that Diversity in Comics, the YouTube channel. Yeah, I started watching a couple of episodes, and there's a real kind of them and us war kind of going between. It's like, okay, bloody hell, and they're like fucking doxing each other and all this fucking crazy shit. It's one of those things this year is fandom. I really like comic books and like doing all this kind of geeky stuff, but then I see people kind of issuing death threats because of comic book characters and that level of fandom and fucking driving halfway around the country for a bit of some fucking sauce from a TV show, and it's like, I don't understand this. It's fucking alien to me.
There's going to be a lot of moments where I will probably say things this week, and I'll sound like a really, really old man. Like, oh, in the good old days, it wasn't like this. But that's purely because, like, the boom of social media, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, lots of people always say, you know, comics is dying out, or blah blah blah. You know, you always get those sweeping generalizations. And 99% of the time, I'm inclined to just sort of say that's just bollocks. Well, comics will never die. They will never die. The print copies will never go away.
Let's hope not.
Yeah, and when the apocalypse happens and we don't have the electricity anymore, you know, the comics are probably going to be currency. So we've just got to look at it that way.
Yeah, yeah. Like when we were in prison that time.
Well, we don't talk about that anymore, Tony. All right. You're trapped in here with me. Anyway. but because of, I think, the boom in sort of like social media announcements and fandom and, you know, just things going viral, you know, we live in a Vine world, don't we, where it's 10 seconds videos that are just being spread everywhere. And and you get the great stuff and you get the funny stuff and you always get the negative stuff. And my fear is that comics and its culture will be pushed to the very edge of not extinction, because it's never going away, but almost being ruined, because so many people that love it will walk away from it because it's such a negative environment to be in sometimes.
Yeah, we've walked away from social media a bit, haven't we?
Yeah.
To be fair.
I used to be so active on Twitter, and now I basically say, here's my cat, I'm eating a cake. That's
honestly, I feel like it's one of the kind of the biggest takeaways of this year for me, just not just this, but generally, is I've mentioned it a couple of times, the way I do social media has got to change in 2018.
Yeah.
Because it's fucking driving me bonkers at times. I kind of read something and then it fucking gets under my skin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is that bothering me? And then it fucking does all day.
In my head, and I don't know whether I'll do this, I'm thinking about, like, for Twitter, I'm going to see it as more of a promotional tool. I mean, as people who have followed me on Twitter and stuff recently, I've been posting up artwork from the anthology stuff that I've been working on. So, you know, I'll go on and I'll post stuff that I want to shout about, or I'll retweet something that deserves... But I don't really want to sit and read the stream. But I think sometimes
you've got to... You got blank stuff. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes,
But that doesn't. But it also doesn't mean that you have to come off it completely. Like, if I post something and someone responds to me and interacts, I'm going to keep that going.
Yeah.
You know. So I'm not saying I'm going to post it and then not pay attention to anyone. Because that.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
You're shooting yourself.
See, I want to interact with people about their kind of their artwork and what they're achieving and their accomplishments, not just the general fucking shit that goes on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy to get caught up in it, isn't it? I mean, I've had, what, two or three in the last year where I've just literally been barraged with insults, and just for stating something. And to be fair, the best one I ever did was I just didn't interact with anyone around it.
Mm.
And I thought, okay.
When you say insults, without going into specifics, what kind of things do you...
You know when I wrote the thing about fake comic conventions?
Oh, yeah.
Fucking hell, mate. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I started off like thinking, oh, I'll screen capture some of them just in case, you know, anything ever comes back on anyone. Yeah. And then I just deleted it, and I thought, oh, who cares? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was just straight up insults, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was chatting to Sam Webster about this recently, and I was saying, well, and he was saying, you know, how do you just say fuck 'em? Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
He says people that and I think he was saying, I think it just comes with a bit of experience, Sam. You know, the older you get, the less you care. We said this about before. The less you care about what people think about you, and you just go, "Ah, oh, fuck them." Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
I had that stupid thing, fucking, when I was reading about like the Wonder Woman film, how that was coming on, and they were like really concerned about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I tweeted something like, "Oh, it says like it's a bit shaky. I hope it turns out all right." And then like a couple of months ago, I looked at my phone, and there was like 20 or 30 notifications. What the fuck's this? And like some account had just trolled through to find anything that someone said negative about Wonder Woman, subtweeted it, and then their thousands of fans basically started fucking coming after me. saying like, "Oh, you look like a right fucking cock now, didn't you?" and stuff like that. And it's like, "Whoa, hold on." And I first started engaging this, and I didn't said anything negative. I've seen the film; it's all right.
Yeah.
And like a lot of them changed their chin. Some of them just were absolutely hammering at me, and I thought, "Am I going to leave this up?" And I left it up for a couple of hours, and it just wasn't stopping. I was like, "I'll delete it."
Yeah.
And don't think about it anymore. But like you say, Tony, you don't. They only have a power over you if you kind of you continue to think about it and it bothers you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you just kind of push it away.
I mean, that thing I put up about, you know, don't hard sell at comic conventions because I find it uncomfortable. Mostly sort of 99% of the stuff I got through, and I got a lot of replies to it and a lot of reads.
Yeah.
Was like, "Oh yeah, I get what you're saying. You know, I agree with what you're saying, or I don't agree, and this is the reason." And it was all very pleasant. And then someone sent me a reply that just said, "No, this bloke's a prick." And I thought, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, what does it matter? I don't care. You know what I mean?
I think when I operate on social media, I try to imagine like if that person was standing in front of me and they told me that opinion. If someone said something to me that I didn't agree with, I go, "Nah, you're a prick," and just walk off.
Yeah.
I can't see myself ever doing that, really.
Yeah.
It's just dismiss someone in such a way. It's
well,
not very nice.
I mean, it's the safety of hiding behind a keyboard, isn't it? It's the anonymity of, like, you know, it gives people balls that they wouldn't have in real life.
Yeah, Tony Esmond's full of shit. I know that because he's got his head up his own ass. It was a classic quote from an email we got a couple of years ago.
Oh, one time I emailed you that, Tony. Just let it go.
Yeah, kind of. One of my kind of big gripes is
for anyone who writes in, to be fair.
That whole the kind of I think someone else has mentioned this, but like online fandom and stuff. Fucking a trailer comes out, and then there's like 50 videos within the hour breaking down the trailer.
Oh,
shit like that.
Oh god,
it's just like,
you've just triggered me.
They've got like the Red Letter Media guys with the Nerd Crew take the absolute piss out of it, but that doesn't seem to have put a dent whatsoever in anyone still doing it. And they still do like Avengers Infinity War. They do a reaction trailer like 5 minutes in of some fucking person's face looking at it.
I tell you what, if we had a Room 101, we should totally do a Room 101 episode.
Yeah, we should do, shouldn't we?
But all right, that's one of the things I would put in it. Trailer reaction videos, because they're the worst.
They're the worst.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get us wrong, people. We're three people doing a podcast and asking people to listen to us and our opinions.
We're doing a reaction podcast, really.
Yeah, yeah. We can't really say much. But
to be fair, like, we do give all killer. This is a little bit of not filler, but you know what I mean. Like, there's one time we're gonna have a bit of a make it a little bit different and rant about the shit.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of these the trailer reaction videos, they make me so angry. I've got nothing to say because I'm so...
people are stupid. They believe that this is actually fucking real.
Yeah,
it's like I'm getting tired now of saying to people, the world is slightly more complicated than that.
Yeah.
God, dear. You
know, everyone's either a Nazi or a fucking liberal, or they're a fucking Tory, or they're Labour, or they're, you know, a wanker, or they're not a wanker. And I'm thinking, look, you know, there's much more to this issue than just you saying that, you know.
Is that thing of kind of like the identity of kind of putting people in like little envelopes, that that's what you are. And it's like, that's absolutely ridiculous to take one facet of a person and say that's what you are, that's what all you're being. It's like, I've never met two people alike that share any similar traits like that. Everyone's individualistic, and I don't know how we've moved away from that. It's absolutely beyond me.
Yeah. Would you like to hear my little rant?
Go on.
Really? Okay. So I think everyone was expecting me to go off on like cosplayers, weren't they, I suppose? Or comic conventions that have no comics.
Yes.
But this is literally something that happens to me regularly, and it happened to me again today. I work in a fairly sort of macho environment where I've been in my job for 20 odd years, and it's taken me 20 odd years to admit to anyone that I'm into comics. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know, but perhaps I'm just of that age where, you know, if they knew I was into comics, they might think I was a bit simple, to be fair. Mm. Yeah, a few years ago.
If I'd have said about comics, I'd have got fucking grief.
Yeah, exactly.
I did.
Yeah. So we've all been in that situation, you know, where we admit that we like comics, and we can see people. There's an almost sometimes you get like a little bit of a sort of pity look in people's eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean, and they feel they have to say something sometimes. I think, and something comes out like, oh, okay, I'm a huge nerd too, or I think geeks are cool. That's quite a common thing. I'm a big comics superhero fan. I love Marvel. I've seen all the movies. That's the most common thing I think we hear at the moment, and yeah. And literally, I'm sort of screaming internally at that point. A comic is not a movie. It's not a cartoon. It's not a fucking Funko. It's a comic. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We are not now kindred spirits and best friends. And we never do. Now, I don't hold a place of notoriety, but I have a certain notoriety at my place and where I work. And recently, I've had to do some job interviews for people who are coming for a role within my job, you know, moving over from one part of the company to another. And I don't make them wrong for this part of it, but there's a little bit of research done and they discover that I'm into comics, you know. So there's a couple of sort of rather sort of shameless fucking attempts to endear themselves in interviews where they've literally gone, oh, yeah, I'm a big comic fan too. I hear you're into comics. I'm like, oh, fuck off. Yeah. Really? we had somebody turn up wearing a Punisher T-shirt or something recently, and I'm like, really? You know what I mean? And I did an interview with a lady recently, and she was having a terrible interview. And right at the end of it, I said, "Oh, do you have any, you know, hobbies or you know, interests outside of work?" And you could see her eyes light up, and she suddenly sort of realised that there was something that she should say. And she says, "Oh yeah, I'm a huge Marvel Comics fan," and then pointed at me, literally pointed at me across the table.
Oh my god!
And I'm sitting there with my box. I'm like, "Really, really?"
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
That's a nice little test, though, to add in there to sort of like say, right, let's see if they bring this up.
Yeah.
And then, okay. Interesting. Yeah. I suppose you could just superficially grill them and they'd fall to pieces.
Yeah, I could have done. But then I'll go, oh, what's the Punisher's real name? Or something like that, you know, and literally come across as comic book guy, don't I?
Yeah.
You know, like immediately. Yeah, anyway, so today I'm in my office and I'm chatting to a guy. I'm in a new office now and I'm chatting to a guy across the table from me, and he's like trying to make conversation. I'm a bit bored, and he said, you know, going on any holidays this year? And I said I'm going to go to Comic-Con in New York probably again. And he went, oh, what do you dress up as? For fuck's sake.
And every time you say, mate. Vampirella, come on.
Yeah, every time. Yeah. And I just think that the sort of preconceptions that people now have of us, if I went to a comic convention, there's no cosplayers at it, I'd be pleased, but I wouldn't be fucking upset. If I went to a comic convention, there was no, I don't know, bootlaces or fucking lunchboxes or Funkos or, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cakes with superheroes on the top, I wouldn't be upset. I'd just go to a comic convention, chat to people who make comics and buy comics. Yeah, and I think this preconception that we just go to comic conventions to dress up and sit in a fucking stupid molded plastic iron throne or something, you know, or sit in a fucking another Back to the Future car, you know. Oh my god, so sick.
Yeah.
You know. So anyway, so because the papers all they ever focus on, and the TV, whenever there's a comic convention, they focus on people dressing up, and there being somebody who was once in the background in Star Wars at it, they seem to think that is now what infests my life, and my life is just me dressing up as a stormtrooper and trying to get off with girls in the local pub. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and the sort of
that's a half truth.
Yeah, and this sort of rumour, you know, spreads that Tony's. Oh, do you know Tony goes to a comic convention, dresses up as Darth Vader? I'm like, fuck off.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you not want that?
Yeah, yeah. So that's my little rant. There you go.
It's fair enough. I kind of keep it on the kind of down low when I've been in jobs, because, like, not so much for that reason, but, like, kind of people kind of look at it and think, oh, it's a bit juvenile, and sort of, like, feel like I get sneers at it. Yeah. To be fair, a lot of people I work with now, like, I've sold my book at work, and a lot of people like it and talk about it, but I always kind of, like, my back or the defences instantly go up when someone starts talking to me about it. Because I'm like, okay, where's this going?
Yeah, I know, I do. And I'm always like super suspicious of people who say they're into it.
Yeah.
Like, they're just trying to make friends with me for some other reason. Yeah. You know, that's how I feel about it sometimes.
I remember, this is a bit nerdy, but I was talking to someone about the, as a group of us, we were talking about comics and stuff, and someone asked me about Venom, and I was talking a little bit about it, and I went, he said, oh, I know all about Venom, I've seen all the Spider-Man episodes on the cartoon we've been in.
Yeah,
and I was like, good. And I'm like, what the fuck are you on? Yeah. Arguably the most stupidest thing you fucking ever said.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah. Yeah. But then, you know, on the flip side of that, the animated series and stuff like that is a lot of people's gateway into.
Oh, yeah, I've not got a problem with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, certainly.
Well, it used to be, mate. It used to be. I don't know whether people now see a cartoon and go buy a comic. I mean, the numbers would indicate otherwise.
Maybe not now, but there's a lot of the artists and writers we love.
Certainly in the past.
Like the X-Men cartoon, when that was at its height, you know, I think that was a big influence on a lot of.
God, yeah.
Yeah, got people into the X-Men, etc. Yeah, but I think you're right. Maybe not now, but
yeah. Well, we'll see what happens with that new Spider-Man Miles Morales movie.
Yeah,
you know, I mean that's getting a lot of buzz. Hopefully,
saw a trailer for that at the cinema.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is that then?
It's the trailer that's
Secret to Homecoming.
No, it's basically from what I gather. It's just it's Spider-Man universe. It's a Spider Universe animated film.
Okay.
Yeah. So and it goes on the way that what's the tagline? More than one person wears the mask, because I think it's focused on Miles Morales, and the animation is beautiful on it. It does look really.
So presumably it's like a home release. It's not going to be a theatrical.
No, it's theatrical. I think.
Is it? Yeah. Oh, right. I'm
next December, I believe. And from the looks of the animation, it had this. Big Hero 6, it looked that look?
Yeah.
The Disney sort of look?
I've never seen that.
That's a good film, that. That is a good
film.
That's
all right, that.
But it's that sort of quality computer-generated animation. So, maybe...
I've got my Miles Morales Spider-Man issue 1 still sealed in the little bag, so nice. I should keep it that way, I think, for the moment. Yeah.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah. I know.
You'll be making a pretty penny on that.
Right? I've got the first...
Yeah, it'll be like the Bitcoin.
I've got the first 15 issues of that the Captain America Nick Spencer run, you know, when he comes out as a Nazi. I don't think I've read the last 5 or 6 of them.
Oh, okay.
Should I stick them on eBay?
Slabbed.
Yeah. Get, you know.
I think you'll find that some Comixology on sale today, so I'd leave it for a bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That kind of brings us nicely back. Oh, sorry, Vince, I haven't had to get you to have a chance, but that fucking knob halfway through the year, he was like burning the free comic book day issue of Captain America because someone told him Captain America was a Nazi.
Right. This is one of the things that really annoys me. It will never go away. I'm essentially shouting into the void, and we all feel personally about these characters. We have connections with these characters, and we have the characters that we love, and certainly when they die and they come back, etc., you know, our heart gets put through the ringer, doesn't it? Every time.
Yeah.
But I also realise that does not entitle me to any creative sway or opinion to these characters.
Not at all.
A fan entitlement is something that is ridiculous now. I mean, we're seeing it. We're not going to talk about the film, but, you know, and Dan said before we came on, the current Star Wars climate is people whining about people whining about people whining. What did you call it, Dan? Wineception. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Which is brilliant. And it's just...
It's put me off seeing it, to be fair. I'm going to see it on DVD, I think.
And that's what saddens me, because, you know, whether... And I'm not saying I'm a huge fan of it. Whether I like these things or not, I really, truly believe more and more now that people should judge for themselves.
Especially where movies are concerned. Movies are such a polarizing thing at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, there's a new Netflix film out, Bright. Now, no matter what you think about what it could potentially be, I think you know, I'm going to watch it this weekend probably.
That's had a terrible thing.
Yeah,
and that's had a swathe of terrible reviews. I would not be surprised if those reviews are coloured by people that didn't like Suicide Squad. I think it's still
because the
director and feel of it. You know, it's got that stylistic look, hasn't it?
I also read something about the fact that it's Netflix producing a film.
Yeah,
they're putting money behind it, and certain people don't like that.
Yeah,
so it might have kind of told people to kind of go heavy on it.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? To sort of make it fuck up.
Yeah, so, I know you said this a lot of times, Tony, but now, like, I'm more and more firmly in your camp that when it comes to movie reviews, I just don't pay attention to them.
I don't care about them now. Yeah, it's weird. I'll read. If you look at, I used to read a lot of music press. I don't so much recently, but if you read a review of an album, it tends to be so much less venomous. You know.
Yeah.
Comics aren't quite there yet, but there's the odd one that you think, "Fuck, hang on, calm down." Mm. You know what I mean? But yeah, movies are just like, it's either yes, like a huge yes, or a terrible. Yeah. This is terrible, terrible, terrible. Yeah. You know, there's no, like, unless you read something like Sight and Sound, which I actually, you know, when you go to that sort of edge of sort of the intellectual side of reviewing, then it's much better. But I know what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, like, one of the things I really like is reading a well written review. You know,
it's
really good. You know, good journalism is good journalism.
Yeah, there's a real art to reviewing. But, you know, you look at someone like Lester Bangs or someone like that, somebody who, like, writes this fucking intelligent, in an intelligent way.
And that's not what I
want to read now.
I do not want fucking 2 pages of A4 talking about your own personal life before you even talk about the film. I hate that.
Yeah. Because it's just like you're inserting yourself into the story or into the review every fucking time.
Yeah, so
I'm a XYZ, and this is where I'm coming from, and this is what I felt.
Yeah, and you just think, shut up, I just want to hear about Indiana Jones.
Yeah, exactly. I'm hoping the tide's going to change a bit. I think, I'll be completely honest with you, I think the one that it started the turnaround is Wonder Woman, because Wonder Woman got a terrible amount of, like, really bad press, didn't it, beforehand?
Yeah.
I was hearing people saying, oh, no, it's going to be a fucking car crash.
Yeah.
And then it turned out to be, you know, I'm not saying it's brilliant, but quite a good movie in my eyes.
In terms of superhero movies, it was one of the better ones this year. I think it hit the right notes.
And I think people are going, I think there's a little bit of people, you know, in their guts are thinking, no, don't prejudge it. Don't listen to all this rumour that's going around.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the best movies I've seen have had no fucking script. You know, there's some amazing films out there that haven't been this sort of tightly fucking written script before they start.
I mean,
you know, Easy Rider's a fucking genius of a film, and they just basically went out on their bikes.
The thing as well, kind of like this harks back for 2 years ago for the Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And there was articles written about Princess Leia, like saying she's moved on from being a princess. She's now like an iconic role model because now she's a general. And it's like, what the fuck are you on? What,
reading a line to that.
What fuck? Yeah. Mm. You're looking at a fictional character that's appeared on screen for 15 minutes. And like, you're pointing at the people to say, this is the role model we should all be fucking rallying behind. And it's like, well, just look around in your life at real people. Just rather than these...
Actually, it gets to such a point where I'm actually confused as to what I've seen. Is Poe Dameron a gay character? I don't know. Is it established that he's a gay character, or is it something that fans have decided he is?
No, it's the fans have decided.
Yeah.
I don't understand all
because
that.
Because if two men have a friendly in films nowadays, that's always added. Always.
Right, okay. Now,
it's like if they're kind of bros, it becomes, oh... they've got to be gay.
It never occurred to me whether he was straight or gay. I just thought I quite like the character. He's quite funny. He's quite cool. Yeah. You know, it just didn't occur to me.
I don't know about you two, but when I see two people interacting, I don't instantly think, are they attracted to each other? What's their sexuality? He just kind of...
Yeah.
Apart from me and Tony.
Yeah, obviously.
That's just very odd. Like when I see someone like a lady talking to a bus driver asking how much the fucking fare. I wonder where their sexuality is. I wonder. You're fucking mad.
Yeah. I mean, I think with a lot,
please.
a lot of like certainly the pop culture characters and stuff. It's it's like a natural evolution of the fan fiction, essentially, isn't it? You know, like all those short stories that people have written about. You know, as soon as you bloody 50 Shades of Grey started off as fan fiction, didn't it? Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. So, but, you know, these sort of things aren't going to affect the films. They're still going to come out, you know, they're still going to be what they are. And a good character is a good character. It does not matter what they are, you know. I mean, yes, we certainly need more, you know.
Representation. I agree with that, you know. But people have short memories. They forget, you know, they forget that things have been done, you know. This is the first thing ever, and you're like, no.
I was saying that, like, about that, about Black Panther. It's like, you only have to go back to the 70s to see films with an entire black cast. What are you going on about?
You know, it was a great movie, and I think the movie that started it all, the superhero craze, was Blade.
Yeah,
I don't think that's talked enough about, really.
That's fantastic, that film. I love it.
Yeah, I love that. I liked all three of them. I know the quality degraded a little bit, didn't it? But
I'd say two is on par with one.
That's one of my Blade 2 is one of my favourite like superhero movies. It's actually one of my favourite movies, actually, Blade 2.
Right,
so good.
Yeah, and then after that we got the X-Men, didn't we? Which really kick-started it. Yeah. I don't think we'd have had it if it not for Blade, really, you know.
Yeah.
That suddenly sort of re-interesting it all.
Yeah.
I took one of my friends to see that, and I didn't tell them what it was about, and they didn't know. So when like it all kicks off with the vampires, they were loving it.
Okay, it's a bit like From Dusk Till Dawn. I went and saw that. I knew, but the person I went and saw it with didn't know that suddenly it's going to take that turn. You know?
Yeah, that's a strange one because virtually halfway through the film, it kind of switches genres.
Yeah, from being a sort of robbery movie, getaway movie, doesn't it, to being a horror movie? Yeah. Yeah, I like From Dusk Till Dawn. Back to. Do you want to do your rant?
Do you want to do your rant?
Well, I think I've been mixing it up.
Yeah.
I mean, I tell you what though. Let's have a couple of people on the Twitter. We did ask people what annoyed them about comics and the culture surrounding comics in 2017. We did say unleash your venom, but as always, our listeners, I think they're sensible and they put it in the right sort of way.
Bloody hell.
Someone's got to be.
Gareth Slighthome. He got in touch. So I'm going to read. There's a couple of messages, so I'm going to read them all in one go.
Okay.
Don't laugh at that. I think what we're witnessing is the eventual maturing of the medium. A little late, as it should have happened way before TV and film managed technically doing that, being their older sibling. The infighting and dismissive elitism, boundary testing and factions all seem to stem from the fact we are at last at a point where we are, and new people from outside, really recognising comics as a medium for the expression of any idea or narrative, and as MacLeod said, not just a genre. It's not just for us anymore. Beyond that realisation, I think the only grumpy thing I have to say about comics is I still don't know enough about making them, selling them, and I don't get to sit behind a table at cons enough.
Okay. Well,
that's fair enough.
That man's got to be at more cons because he's putting out great work.
Yeah, he put some great work up on the Facebook group this week, didn't he? Yeah, really interesting. I think he was sort of basically, was he putting out there offering to do some pin-ups or covers for people?
Yeah, really
good stuff, yeah.
And definitely take him up on the offer because Gareth does great work.
Yeah, he's a good egg. Yeah.
But I think he's got a few good points there, you know. It's not just for us anymore. Do you know what I mean? There is this culture of us and them.
I don't think it should be a gatekeeping on it at all.
Yeah.
I think that's what's led to decline in sales.
Yeah.
It should be like trying to get the comics into the hands of the kids, and
I think we've improved hugely. I do think we have.
Mm.
You know, how many years ago was it you saw people moaning about, I went in a comic shop and I was the only woman in there?
Yeah.
Now, that you'd never hear that anymore, do you? I personally haven't. You know.
Yeah. Probably depends on the area, though, doesn't it, really?
Maybe.
But certainly, on the flip side, I think with some comics fans and stuff, they're so proud of not knowing, being away from the mainstream, and certainly the big two they're easy to pick at because they are essentially the mainstream, aren't they? But some comics fans take their love of this medium it's almost to a fundamentalist level. Do you know what I mean? You know, they adversely hate. You know, it's like, oh, people don't understand. We don't want newcomers. They'll just ruin it. And this fucking community isn't big enough for this. Look, we need every hand we can get. You know, and some of the nicest people, certainly I think any of us have met since we started the show and being at cons and stuff, are the people that are either just getting into comics or they've re-entered the comics community. And they've done it because of positivity.
I genuinely think, and I 100% stand by this, if I'm standing behind a table, it doesn't matter to me what sex or what sexuality or what ethnicity or what religion you are. I just see you as a comics fan.
Mm. Yeah.
And we'll chat to you in that way. I don't really... I've never seen a divide. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Really, from there.
Yeah.
It's the same way as picking up a comic. The only thing that I'll pick up a comic for is because it's a good comic.
Yeah.
Who writes and does it almost is irrelevant.
Completely.
It's the comic itself that should stand on its own.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think there was a couple of... Did someone say that to us? Didn't Tom say that, I think? Pretty much, Vince, on the Twitter.
He may have done. I've got through the list.
I think I might have it.
Yeah.
Here we go, yeah. Tom said, I wish comics could just be comics. I don't give a flying fuck who made them. If I like a comic, I like a comic.
Yeah,
that's a good attitude, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
And then we had Dave Kennedy said, I can't afford all of them. Which I would agree with him. Yeah, I wish I could buy them all. But the and I do think they have become more expensive, haven't they? I think that is a slight as well, I think.
Which is why... I mean, obviously we're giving a shout to Comic House again, but why an avenue like Comic House is such a vital thing. If comics are more expensive and you've got this avenue to check out, you know, if you just want to read new comics that you haven't checked out before, it's great that stuff like that exists and beyond. Do you know what I mean? Not just Comic House, but, you know, and beyond. It's great stuff. Sarah Harris says, nothing annoyed me.
And
you said, you said that may be a challenge. So, so by the end of 2018, Sarah Harris will no longer be listening to the show. Based on what Tony has
said. Something, if anyone can manage it, you could. T-Dog.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, I like that. I'm going to own that. Yeah.
Have you never been called T-Dog before?
I think you called me T-Dog before, haven't you?
I've called you many things. T-Bag.
It wasn't calling me that. It was more of an instruction.
Nice.
He was making a cup of tea, Dan. What did you think? Get your mind out of the gutter.
You said tea leaves or tea bag? Or tea bag.
it's always always bag.
Where should I put my clothes, Tony? I'm just on the stool over there.
I'll grab that pole.
Yeah.
You've said that before. Anyway, pole dancing
Be good for exercise, isn't it?
What's that?
Yeah, pole dancing is. Yeah.
Exercise. Yeah. Good for the thighs.
And speaking of pole dancing, Ken Reynolds got in touch with us on Twitter.
Works whenever.
sorry, Ken. He said, what annoys him is fandom where nothing is middle of the road anymore. It's all extremes and directly opposing points of view, all ripe for pointless argument with no compromise. The discussion used to be the point. Now everyone argues to win. Win what?
Yeah, exactly. I think you're right about the no compromise.
I think that is a broader issue generally that we're going through at the moment.
Yeah,
like you mentioned, Tony, you're either with us or against us, and there's absolutely no middle ground. And it's so much more fucking nuanced than
that. You see it around everything. You see it around politics. You see it around, you know what I mean, just fucking movies. You see it around everything. Social media is full of stupid.
But I think it's more of a phenomenon recently, I'd say, this kind of arguing of this and that. You know what I mean? It seems very kind of black and white. There's no grays. Which is fucking stupid.
It's creating divisions as well. I mean, I think most obviously in political debate, I think sadly in the United Kingdom, I think if we'd have entered into a proper discussion around Brexit rather than you're a Nazi, you're a liberal, a libtard, if we'd have actually entered into a proper discussion rather than just shouting at each other on social media, we might not have been in the trouble we're in now, I think.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people kind of come to gone and said, well, after looking into it and seeing what's happening, I would have voted differently regardless if that was in or out, but a lot of people seem to kind of get sucked up and all that kind of stuff,
yeah,
and just fucking hell. It's a very sad state of affairs, but you know,
comics,
at one point,
it's microcosm of that, isn't it? Comics,
yeah.
If, you know, you pare it down. Comics is that as well. Mm. You know,
I foolishly thought that kind of like the kind of social media and the ability to interact with each other more would move us away from kind of like these tabloid entities able to kind of sway opinion. But if anything, it's made it worse.
Yeah.
It's kind of like dropping pebbles in like this social media, and then the ripples going out, and everyone believing that's the case and amplifying the message.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like I said, you get the comics world is only a kind of a reflection of what's going on in that.
Yeah. And we're going to get to the point where we're going to start ruining people's lives. And we're going to get to the point where somebody.
You're talking about this show.
Obviously. Yeah, but
that's
what
happened.
But what you're going to happen is you're going to get people's lives being ruined. And then you are going to get someone killing themselves.
Yeah.
You know, because of, you know, like the crowd mentality on social media. And then everyone's going to go, all right, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's probably happened already.
I'm sure it has.
There's an example of people having a go at someone on social media. You know, I mean, I don't pretend to understand Ethan Van Sciver's political leanings, and I don't care. But I know that he's had some terrible times recently. Mm. Yeah.
I just, the idea of threatening people over social media, strangers, is just absolutely beyond me. I don't get that at all. It's crazy talk.
And people lack a sense of humour sometimes. I think
we have
to be careful because sarcasm doesn't always come across.
Because I got reminded of a tweet I sent last time when there's voting Trump in, and I said, why don't us Brits get a vote? Like, obvious joke. And then someone goes, oh, that's such a stupid, immature thing to say.
Like you, Dan.
I was saying, it was like I penned it like a Viz letter. Why don't us Brits get a say, eh?
Yeah.
And obviously they didn't take too. The worst one is they subtweet you.
Yeah.
So it's like, look at this, look at this, and then they fucking comment on your. So you're taking that out of context.
Yeah.
There's one I tweeted. I did like three adverts for Vanguard. I might have brought this story up before, but basically there was one with like a semi-naked lady on it, one with a dude, and one with like a dressed lady. And the one, the ad count clicks, the one with the semi-naked lady was like 5 to 10 times more than the other ones.
Oh, was it? Okay.
And I'm sort of posting this saying, look, this is where we're at.
Vince, we need to change the cover.
Yeah. And someone said, well, like, this just goes to show what's wrong with society and blah 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 blah. And I was like, well, how am I? I've just posted up these results of this. I'm not kind of endorsing this. This is just the results. Yeah. How am I supposed to fucking change society?
Yeah. Well, you've run an experiment, basically, haven't you?
I've run an experiment. And then if you want kind of loads of clicks, sex sells.
Yeah, exactly. What a fucking surprise, everyone.
Yeah.
Sex sells. Well done. Yeah. Well, I'm sure Milo Manara's cover sold very well.
Yeah,
I wonder why they put that on there. Yeah. Okay.
That's and not like there's like a million fucking covers of Spider-Man with his arse in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say, for all like these opinions that are going over the top and like people ranting and just getting really bitter and fighting with each other, it does make me appreciate even more, you know, all the people that get involved on our sort of Facebook group and Twitter and stuff. Yeah,
to a person's been very reasonable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it really has.
And it's great because it's full of people that don't always agree, but they discuss. And that's what's missing with a lot of things these days in society, never mind comics. You know, there's no discussion. It needs to start discussion,
because Sam started up a thread that will be over by the time the people listen to this, but the Secret Santa art exchange, and that's going to be done on Christmas Eve. Can't wait to see it. It's going to be brilliant.
That is good. Loads of people replied to that as well. It's really good.
Every cloud anyway. Simon Russell, one of the things that annoys him is shiny paper reprints.
I'll tell you, it's not just reprints at the moment. Just monthly comics. The reflective surface, if you're trying to read it in a sort of electric lit room, is a real pain in the arse.
White sheen.
Yeah,
I can say that. I mean, I've got a book here that I'm going to talk about a bit later. It's got a nice glossy cover, and I've got like a sort of desk side lamp here, which is quite bright. So naturally, the shine's off. But it's got a lovely sort of matte paper, and I could read that sort of anywhere. you know what I mean?
Yeah, some people, there's a quite a big movement to bring back newsprint paper, isn't there? You know, because I know Vertigo, like, for example, I was looking through some old Fables trades the other day, and that's got like that sort of matte quality to it. That you're not getting a reflection back off the surface where you've got to sort of almost angle it a bit to read it properly.
Yeah.
I don't know why they've done that. It just seems really...
And I think there should be a middle ground to it. I don't think it needs the gloss. I mean, I like the thickness of the paper, especially with these books, but it just needs to be matte. That's all it needs to be. It doesn't need to be gloss.
Yeah. Why the gloss? I don't understand.
Is there something to do with the colouring process or something? I don't know.
I would have thought if it's matte paper, sometimes it would probably muddy some of these colours, because you know some of these comic books, they get quite dark, don't they? But other than that, I don't...
Shouldn't be an issue, though, if you kind of, like, the print's under control.
Because I know when I've bought DC's trades in the past, sometimes their paper's, like, really thin, and it doesn't feel very good quality when you get some of their collections, the DC ones. I think they've gotten better, though, haven't they, Tony, I think, the DC collections?
Yeah, they have, actually. I've got a couple of the Rebirth ones. Yeah, the paper's a lot better.
Yeah.
But I think they really need to think about the monthly comic stock, the paper. It's just... Because a lot of my reading is done on the train, and it's dark outside, and I'm having to sort of angle the paper a little bit to be able to read it.
Yeah, that's not good.
Which is why I've moved a lot to my reading on the move is digital now.
Yeah,
it's a lot easier to make out stuff, you know. Yeah.
There's times as well when I pulled a comic out of the bag and it's fucked. Oh shit!
Yeah. I was going to slap that one.
Yeah, not very precious about it when it come out, and it's fucking. It's like a dog's been at it. Just because, like, it got caught on something in the bag. Shit. Mm.
Okay. Another annoyance. Well, not really annoyance. Rob Jones from Madius. He's said, the soul-crushing amount of time it takes to create collected editions and the tedious task of admin, they really fucked me off this year and slowed down my output. And that's, I can understand why that's annoying.
Yeah.
That's also a learning.
You're doing it.
It's also a learning. And I think definitely for those out there who are doing collections, and I certainly in the future are going to do collections of things, that's what you need to factor in. And it takes a
fucking long time.
Yeah. And it is laborious. It's, comics isn't sexy work all the time, is it? Yeah.
There's no fun in that bit.
Yeah.
What's the key to it? Is it the consistency of putting it together from the very beginning of the series in the same way? Is that part of it? Or
how was it for you, Dan? Because obviously with yours it was slightly different because you had the webcomic, didn't you, which you were then collecting.
So like, obviously I get all the pages and already print ready.
Yeah.
But then you slap it together. Right. You need the cover. I need like the intro and the front of the book.
Yeah.
What else the reader's going to need? You need the outro, and then. Obviously getting it ready for print, making sure like the pages are landed on the right side, because when I'm doing the webcomic and it's not like I might have a page landed on the wrong side, it's like, right, okay, I need a filler before that comic goes on the right, because I always wanted the covers to be on the right, so when you turn over the page the new issue starts on the left.
You've got to bear in mind the design of the book, haven't you? Because I'm going to collect the Red Mask eventually. You know, I'm going to get all the issues out. And after every issue, once I've sent that issue off to print, I've got a bigger document where I put issue one and then straight afterwards comes issue two.
Yeah.
So comics take a while to do. It's not like we're, you know, I haven't done a bloody issue for a year. But at least I know I've got the story is going. Do you know what I mean? I've got the majority of it, and then I've just got to do everything around it. I think it's planning, isn't it? It's preparation and figuring out what you're going to do before you jump into it.
Would you consider just going to trade now with it, not doing single issues and just going to a trade?
I know because
I know it happened to Nick Brokenshire, didn't it, on Once a Future Queen. They went straight, did two issues and then went straight to trade.
Yeah. I think the way forward now is to do complete stories in trades. Or do the single issue one shot stories.
Okay. I'm gonna to all those listeners who actually have read the Red Mask and would like it and like it, and thank you to everyone that's read it. Here's a question for you people out there. Rather than have an issue 4 and then wait for an issue 5, if I just did it all in one book.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I've started with the individual issues, and I love individual issues. That was always the whole point of it, was to do, you know, a mini series. And that was the naivety of me, do you know what I mean? Before I realised the amount of work and time, especially with your real life, etc. And that's what slowed me down. But the goal was always to have the 5 issues and then a trade at the end.
Yeah.
Now, in my head, the way I feel about it now, I would quite like to just do, you know, the rest of the story, the next 2 issues in one hit, get it all done, and then probably...
I would be tempted to take it straight to trade.
Yeah, yeah. But by doing that, there's the part of me that feels like, am I...
Are you conning people into buying the trade? I think part of it.
I don't want people to feel, oh, I bought the other issues and now, like, the trade's, you know, I don't want to shortchange anyone
I can see that.
Who has already bought it and, you know, supported it.
But then again, you're going to, like, a nice collection where the story's rounded off. Yeah. People love your comics, so they probably would like that. Mm. That's the other side of it, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, but ideally, I'd like to buy it as a trade.
Yeah.
As one.
And I do have quite big plans for the trade. You know, loads of, like, back matter. You know, I've got quite a lot of artists who are very generously given artwork or are prepared to do pin-ups. And, you know, I've got ideas for all of this stuff.
Yeah.
So I'd love to do that. So that's an interesting one. I think I might have to put that out to... in a future.
I tell you what, until tonight,
I'd never really thought about... shortcutting it, you know, like that, if you know what I mean. Just thinking.
Yeah.
Because it is frustrating, because I had the third issue.
People I think.
Yeah. I was trying to get an issue out a year, and I didn't do it last year because I had other commitments and things. And now I just kind of want it done. You know what I mean? I've got the rest of the story ready to go. I'd like to just have it all done so that everyone can read it. It's not just me wanting it done enough that I want everyone to read it now.
Yeah.
Well, that's given me a lot to think about, Tony.
There you go.
Off the back of that as well is the idea of I think this is the kind of realization I've come to this year, is like your digital should be cheap as chips and get it into as many hands as possible. Because once your product is made, just get it, people reading it. That's the optimum scenario. And then if they really like it, they can pick up the trade. But if you put, like, this, the paywall, paywall, but, like, if you're charging £3, £4 for an individual issue, for me, I'd rather have that person have it for 79p on Comixology, and then they're into the series, and then someone's reading the comic.
Totally. I think a lot of people need to realise there is no money in digital comics for independent... I mean, this is my opinion, I'm not stating fact, but certainly with the sort of print runs and sort of followers that I know a lot of people have... You know, when they get that check from Comixology, that mystical check, what, you can buy a packet of salt and vinegar crisps.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Know. But rather than do that, you know, you just don't be afraid to lower the price to get it out there. I mean, like, you know, there's, and like Kickstarters as well, I will actively not back a Kickstarter if their digital is ridiculous price.
Too high. Yeah, something I mean, behind the scenes, we have a little grumble about that as well, don't we? To be fair, we go, what? The fucking digital? Fucking Turkish. Yeah,
I know some people still do it. It does annoy me. The minimum one is the, oh, thanks for helping us.
Yeah.
I really don't like that.
You know, I've always thought it, but I think Ryan K. Lindsay has it, his game on
absolutely,
point.
Yeah.
He's, you know, because
locked that down.
Doesn't he have like $1 and you get the book? And it is literally... You know, just because then he can pay the artist, you know, and you know, $1, people, how many pledges did you get to that?
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
they're on your mailing list, they'd be interested in coming back and get it again because they've already got one product, And the idea he said, like, that first one is so important, And to put, like, oh, our eternal thanks, you give us £5 or whatever, it's like, fuck me, so many your audience down straight away, But Tom Ward also said something similar, like once the book's been made, it's been paid for, printed, and it's in people's hands, the Kickstarter for the digital, which is costing him, it's all paid for. Just get it out there and get it to people, and all those quids are adding up to the total.
Yeah.
I mean, that is what also gets my goat, is material that has been out there for absolutely donkey's years, and people, you put an example out of it today, didn't you, Vince? You know. Of a book that's been out for what, 7 years, and for 4 trades of it, they're charging £50 odd.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that must be just making money. I don't know who that's making money for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
That's just 100%. That's all paid for, that fucking thing. So the digital is just surely, well, it's not all profit because it's some going into the service provider, but essentially it's fucking loads of profit there.
Well, I reckon if you reduce that by a fifth, you would sell so many books.
Yeah.
You know?
And you don't.
That's the reason there are sales.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I will categorically say that I do not buy Marvel and DC trades digitally when they're full priced. You know, even if they, you know, they're not the same price as they are as the physical books. They are cheaper, but they're still. I'd still think, no, you know, I'd rather get some indie books.
Yeah.
For that money.
Do you think this is a generational thing, of like
maybe
being that we're gentlemen of a certain age that we wouldn't buy that stuff?
Maybe, but I think
you see that changing.
These companies are, I think they're cottoning on to a good thing, because like over the past 3 months, there's been two sales that are absolutely ridiculous. There's one going on at the moment. I think that's
the DC and Marvel sales is like across the board.
Yeah,
like hundreds and hundreds of books for nothing. Yeah.
And,
like,
and you're talking they're $150, $2.99 for. A slightly bigger book, because the Dark Phoenix saga is quite a big book, isn't it?
Right. Okay.
Yeah, and that's $2.99. But most standard like Marvel trades, from what I've seen, they're $150.
That's great.
$1.99. We talked about the Greg Rucka Punisher Warzone, where it was Punisher versus the Avengers. That was £1.49. So I just snapped that up.
Mate. Yeah, that's a great.
Because you cannot get that for love nor money online. Yeah, the printed version.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So definitely jump on it.
That's the real way forward for me in Comixology, because that's the big thing that's happened to me this year is I've started reading so much digitally.
Yeah.
And to be fair, that was started by Nick Brokenjoy. He gifted me an Amelia Cole trade as a little thank you for coming on the show and stuff, and I fucking tore it up, and then I made sure I was registered with Comixology and bought the rest of the run.
Nice.
And I haven't looked back since. Do you know what I mean? But the way to do it is to go for the sales on Comixology.
Yeah. I really like the guided view. I'm not sure if everyone feels that way. Because it's like, it's just another way of reading the comic, and you've still got the comic in its entirety. You can read its full pages. Especially with a mobile device, it just helps you to kind of focus on it a bit more.
Yeah. I gifted you guys something for Christmas just recently.
Yeah.
I
did.
I don't know if either of you have started reading
it. I've not had a chance to read it yet.
I'm like two or three pages in.
I think the guided view really does help with that. I mean, it's a beautiful book. I've got the hard copy. But I think you get a real cinematic pacing to the guided view on that.
Do you have your guided view on the, you know, you tap it, it goes to each panel, and there's one, you can have it, and it'll show you the whole page at the end or the beginning.
Yeah. I just have it panel. Yeah,
I just have it panel by panel, yeah.
It just goes in, yeah.
If you double tap, it takes you to the whole page, isn't it? That's the way I do it.
Because I've been doing it, and then I think, fucking hell, how far am I into this? Because you lose yourself.
Yeah. You do.
It's good in
really
the way. Because, you're totally immersed in it. It's like not seeing the counter on the VHS thing. Yeah. You know, like it's an hour and a half film, and you've got to around 15. You think it's going to wrap up in a minute.
Yeah, but you do have that sometimes when you're reading a book. You think, how much have I got further of this? And you look at the top of the count, and you think, oh Jesus.
And a little plug on Comixology for the sale. DC got a sale on at the moment. If you go to it, you can get the volume 2 of Batgirl, which is Christian Wild Goose's first volume.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
So I think $1.99 or $2.99, I think it is.
Yeah.
Great value, And I've got it in front of me. It is fucking splendid.
Last time I delved into a DC sale, I ended up picking up shitloads of Justice League's International.
Yeah, didn't you? I picked up a load of Green Arrow, which I already owned, obviously. Yeah.
The only problem with all these sales, you get all these great books to read, and I've got even less chance to read anything else.
There was a retweet going around during the week of, like, what are you reading at the moment? And it was Marvel and DC were high, but the indies were a level. So a lot of people kind of go into that stuff.
Yeah.
And the indies didn't include Image and stuff like that. Yeah. That was like a separate category. So
I have to say, there's been a lot of indie books I've been sent, weirdly, just out of the blue. I got sent about six this week. I'm not sure if people have like had a few days off before Christmas to prep the next release sort of thing, but I got the new Garvey book as well. I got it in front of me, which I must read. It looks great. I got something through from Gareth Hopkins, which I should talk about in a bit. But some really good stuff through.
And I know we've had some stuff sent through to us over the past like month or so.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
some of that I'm really excited to start reading.
Yeah, I wonder if it's like us. We're gearing up for February for the start of convention season, and we're almost at the point where we're going to print with the anthology.
Yeah,
you know, I wonder if people are like that now. You know,
I mean, I must say, as grumpy as we are, and like we're having a bit of a funny rant now, and 2017, I'll be glad to see the back of it for a lot of reasons, but I do find myself being excited about next year.
In terms
of like comics and, you know, things that are happening. You know,
I'm looking forward to seeing you two fuckers. That's what I'm looking forward to. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to True Believers, and I'm looking forward to the launch of our anthology. And like we talked about earlier, I am not nervous at all because I've got full faith in all of our bits of work in it. Yeah. I don't really care what reviewers say; they can say what they like about it. But what I'm most looking forward to is just having a laugh with you guys and going out the night before for a curry with Stuart and all that sort of thing. It's going to be good. You know.
Yeah. What's the blurb you put in the beginning bit of the anthology? I don't know how anyone could read that and not want to get that comic.
Oh, yeah, that was really nice, mate. Yeah, it was good.
Well, I just... I can't remember what I put now.
I read it and I thought that's a little bit of a moment of genius of you there, because that reads really well, yeah.
I can't remember what it's now, but... That was me very roughly just putting something as a placeholder on the inside cover.
Yeah, was it? it kind sometimes of like... those moments are the best, aren't they, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It was kind of like... It started with a podcast... It started with the podcast, now it's an anthology. Three stories told over four issues. Murderous ghosts, vigilante cops, street fighting femme fatales, welcome to awesome comics.
Yeah, fucking class. Yeah.
Oh, thanks, guys. Do you think I need to say more than that?
No, I think that's good, mate. Yeah.
We're kind of on the back. I don't know what's going to go on the back.
It would kill you.
Yeah. Something like that.
Oh, do you remember all those favours we did reviewing your comics? Buy our comic.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No, and
just a picture of our faces staring out.
Well, and once again, folks, we are going to have a two-page letters section in every single one of these issues. And we do want anyone that reads it or is interested in it to get in touch and ask us about these strips, because these aren't just, you know, we've thought up these ideas and there's a lot more to them than just people having a laugh.
I've got you fucking sweating over these.
Nick's killed it on it. I mean, wait till you've seen it. Yeah, I mean, you guys have as well, but I'm so pleased to have worked with Nick on it. So,
please send us. If you got a letter for the first issue, obviously no one's read any of our strips yet, but we still want you to get in touch with us and just ask us some questions. Like, see, you know, find out the behind the scenes, as it were, about what we were thinking. So email us a letter, you know, like the old school reader's letters that you used to get in a lot of comics.
That.
That's why we're doing it, because we love that sort of stuff. Ask us about our comics and send them to awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. And you never know, you might be in the print of the first issue. We've already had...
We genuinely respond, like people who are generally interested in writing in those kind of letters, we'll respond.
We are. I'm really interested in
We've already had one great letter asking me about something about Murder Road, which I'm looking forward to answering.
And we've had another great email from Mauro as well. I'd like to point that out.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah, he's a legend already.
Dude,
yeah.
Climbing the chart to number one fan position. Out
Sarah. Sarah will beat him to death.
Oh, there's going to be fan wars soon.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
We've kind of decided the running order of the book, because both of our comics have got people with bike helmets in.
Oh, yeah, so I'd split up, didn't I?
Yeah.
Better not fucking draw any bike helmets from now on.
But I said in the second issue of mine, there's no bike helmet, so it's fine.
Oh, really?
Are we going to keep the same running order for every issue?
I think so. I think probably. Because also the nature of the artwork, like a lot of mine's like blacks and greys, but Nick's artwork is so brilliantly sort of black and white.
Yeah.
And then going back into, like, you know, Dan's more sort of like layered and Photoshop and colour, you know, those beautiful sort of colours, which will be great. Are you doing it full colour and then grayscaling it?
It's full colour and I've grayscaling it, but I have to go in afterwards and lighten some effects. Like, there's the chap's visor that when you lighten it, it comes up like a grey. So I've got to go in and then boost that and boost a couple other things.
Right. I'm not going to lie to you, folks. This book's going to be fucking glorious when it comes out.
But don't forget, it's the first of four as well.
Yeah.
There's more to come.
Yeah.
Get on board now. You can get it slabbed.
I'll slab you.
Yeah.
That sounded a bit dirty.
I'll draw around Vince's private parts rather than sign it.
You it's haven't got paper big enough. So
I've got a couple of stamps here.
Oh dear. Anyway, another response we had on the Twitter about things that annoy us in comics culture, etc. Sam Webster, who we mentioned earlier, he's got a little list.
Yeah.
Here we go. Right. One, certain sales tactics.
Yeah, that's what I talked about.
Yeah.
Two, a very small minority of creators being elitist.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Elitist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, kind of. I presume the kind of the thing of like people telling stories about superheroes and science fiction, and the other side of it being a kind of a bit more artistic, arty.
Yeah.
Yeah. We occasionally get people who go say things like, "Oh, I would never read a superhero comic."
Yeah.
Mm. You know, I suppose there's a bit of that going on, isn't there? Yeah. I'll see what that means. Yeah.
Three is fucking Patreon, fucking up, then 180ing.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fucked.
Yeah.
That was a bit weird, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That does show the power of social media being good, I suppose.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. We've got a load of investors in that's obviously told them, look, this is the way you make more money. And they've done it, not understanding what the fuck they're doing. And it's just all car crashed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number four, the fan art debate is still going somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it rolls on. Number five, Sam said the F-bomb quite a few times in this. Number five,
lovely.
Fucking Watchmen being forced into DC canon with Doomsday Clock.
I've got to read that. I've got the issues, and I need to read it, I think. Yeah, I can't comment on it, I think, till then.
It doesn't appeal to me. Watchmen is just like a standalone thing.
Yeah.
It's like if V popped up in something else, it's like, no, it's the one. It's the story, beginning, middle, end. Just fucking leave it. But that said, some people have said it's all right. So
yeah. But then again, before Watchmen, I think Dave Gibbons kind of gave his blessing to it, didn't he?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So who else is to say that it shouldn't be done? You know.
Yeah.
When you've got half the creative team.
Well, it's the only, I don't know how the story rolls out, but in Watchmen, like, you've got those players and that's it. But if it's set in a world with Superman and Batman, that's kind of like a bit of a different thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how they work around that.
I don't know. Do you know what? I'm a bit tired of the Watchmen debate. I mean, we all are, I'm sure. But I'm a bit tired of the Watchmen debate because people go on about it, but nobody says, oh, look, they're using the New Gods characters. And let's face it, Kirby got a bit fucked over, didn't he?
Yeah.
You know, nobody ever goes, oh, look, they're using, you know, Dark Sides in the movie. And, you know, I mean, all these characters that Kirby created. No one seems to be on that bandwagon, though, you know.
Yeah.
It seems fashionable to be on that bandwagon.
When
it comes to these sort of debates, would you like to see a mass debate on it?
I would, yeah. I'd like to see loads of people in a room mass debating.
Oh, all over the issue. Mass debating, I think, would be a major thing in 2018.
But not for too long. Just for maybe a couple of minutes.
Yeah. I know what you mean, because you just get tired after a while, don't you?
I think, you know, some people, they come to a happy ending, don't they, if you debate with each other.
Yeah.
We talking about wanking? Lost the thread there.
Oh dear. One more view from a listener, Gareth A. Hopkins. He said, entitlement, the sense of certain fandoms that they somehow own the content and have the right to police how it's created and consumed. And then he added, also, my 250-page abstract poetry graphic novel somehow didn't go mainstream and make me embarrassingly wealthy.
Yeah, we liked it.
Yeah. That boy, he's destined for big things.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'll mention it now. I was going to mention it in the shout-outs, but he sent me his new thing. I will delve into it. I emailed him back saying how much I loved it, but I need to think about a bit about it before I write any kind of review on it, or review it on here. But it's something special, really is. Yeah, he's done something. He's combined what we've seen him do before with something else, and I was a little bit gobsmacked reading that in a coffee shop this morning. Good, great stuff, Gareth. Yeah, very awesome. Moving, mate. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, very honest. Yeah. Yeah,
and honesty, I think, is where we should leave it. Really. Yeah. I think, you know, as I knew it would, it was funny, and hopefully we've highlighted and maybe started some discussions. Hopefully not some mass debating. We don't want that.
I don't mind people mass.
We are really going to drive that joke into the ground, aren't we?
Drive into the ground like a fucking tent peg.
Yeah.
Brings it circular, because I was talking about wanking on the train before we came on.
There you go. Like a circular wank.
Like a circle jerk, as it were.
Yeah.
And what
I was saying, that fucking the train's so packed nowadays, it makes it very difficult. People keep looking at you and like, what the fuck?
Don't judge me.
Yeah, who are you?
You Nazi.
Don't you look at me. But as well as our grumpiness, we put out a little shout out to some listeners to lighten the mood, because we thought we might be grumpy, miserable old bastards, but our lovely listeners aren't. So, and we had a couple of replies. So thank you very much. So without further ado, before we get onto the shout outs and stuff, let's hear from some sensible people, shall we?
Oh, who's that then?
Well, we'll find out now.
Awesome comics podcast champions. What have I enjoyed most this year about comic books? Well, it's been the community. Everybody is so kind, and it's also very rude, and the amount of words I've learned from Dan's dictionary. I'm looking forward to next year. Thank you very much. Goodbye. And just for a bit more clarity, here's your famous laugh.
Hey guys, it's Strati from the US, and I have to say that it's all about the banter. Highlights for me for 2017 are the crazy stuff you guys talk about. I like Tony's newsletters when he goes off on rants. I like Dan's Dictionary Corner. And I think the highlight would have to be, though, the time the dinosaur had sex with a bus. Keep it up, looking forward to 2018.
Hi guys, it's Aaron from Little Heroes Comics. 2017 was an amazing year for us. And the one thing that stands out is your podcast. When I was introduced to you guys by a friend, it was early in our story here. I believe that without the support from you three and the amazing community that you have shaped, I do not think we've been able to grow as much as we have. For that, I love you and have a great 2018, in which I hope we will see us show the whole industry who we are at Little Heroes Comics and what we're trying to do. So thank you.
Hey guys, it's Bryony Evans from Wine and Zine. So I thought I would give you one of my top books from 2017. So what I'm going to go with is Girl in the Glim by India Swift and Michael Doig. This one, holy moly, oh my gosh. Awesome stuff. Like, what an amazing piece of art, really. It's the first volume of their ongoing story about a 13-year-old girl called Bridget who... her family moved to a new town, and she's starting the first day at school, and she's really nervous. And but then all this sort of supernatural, like, I don't really know what it is. It's amazing. I don't want to say too much because it's really great to go in with like a clean slate. But the art is amazing, and just the colouring, and you can just tell they just put a lot of passion and a thought into this book, and it just shows. It's amazing. So if you haven't seen that, I recommend that. For 2018, I'm super looking forward to NPC issue 4 and 5 by Sarah Millman on her successful Kickstarter. Go Sarah! So super looking forward to seeing what the next stage of this story is. And also my buddy Luke Hyde, I'm looking forward to PoleQuest Campaign 2. So if you guys don't already know, he did a book based on his character Bacon. And it's all the story is based off polls on Twitter. So if you guys want to take part in the next one, it's super fun and you can see it throughout as well. It's Bacon's Pull Quest on Twitter, and it's great. It's so much fun. So I'm pretty sure that'll be out 2018. If it's not, 2019. Either way, it's a great time. So yep, those are my that's what I think. Those are my things. So yeah, thanks for the sorry, oh my god, words. Oh gosh. I haven't even been drinking, guys, honestly. I'm sorry. So thanks for the podcast this year. It's been super fun. Thanks for having me and Claire on and stuff. And yeah, I hope everyone has a great year. And bye!
There you go. Some lovely That's listeners nice. To yeah. offset our That's grumbling.
Acting, because I haven't heard them yet, but I'm sure they are nice.
Well, yeah. 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 Our listeners are always nice.
Yeah.
And they like having a laugh. But as it's the season of giving, we're going to give you a little bit more this week. because not only is a triumphant, there's going to be a triumphant return of a certain corner that, that we'll get later. But there's another corner. Yes, yeah. Yes. When we're in a cube. There's so many corners in here. And Daniel's got one, but now Tony's got one. What's your corner called, Tony?
Well, I don't know if you remember, Vincent, but a few weeks ago we put a shout out for Tony's poetry corner.
Indeed.
And some said, if you write a poem in, I'll read it out. And the person who's written in about this has asked not to be named.
Yeah.
So we won't be naming you, Tom.
that was a real Dad's Army moment, that was.
Yeah. Right, he entitles it, or they entitle it, Are You Honestly Surprised? And there's three short limericks. There once was a man called Tony, who apparently was hung like a pony. All was not well, for it was green like kale and twisted like macaroni. There once was a man on a train who looked like he was in pain. What's wrong, I asked. Southern Rail, Dan rasped. This train fucking stopped again. There once was a man called Vince Hunt, whose two friends were quite blunt. As one, they did a show, but it filled Vince with woe, because they kept on saying...
That's fucking ace.
The thing is, while you were halfway through that, I was writing down the time already.
As soon as I said Vince Hunt, you thought, here it comes. Yeah. May one day become rhyming slang. That might be great for you, mightn't it?
No.
He's a right Vince Hunt.
No. Oh, yeah. No. That's
yes.
not.
Yes.
Dear God.
I like to think that was both creative and insulting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which that was great.
Exactly. My business cards.
I tell you what, folks. There's a challenge for you. You've seen the first one. See if you can come up with more rhyming limericks like that for each of us. And if we get good ones, we'll read them out. Why not?
In Tony's poetry corner.
Yay!
Hey.
Now, what shout outs do we have this week?
I've only got the one.
Go for it.
Zoe and Emma at No Brow. Just a little thank you. I don't think we thanked them enough. Both friends of ours, yeah. And both who have very, very kindly included us in events, invited us to events, and sent us free books for us to talk
very
about.
Very awesome.
And,
very kind.
Yeah, both great people and friends of ours. Really, really good. Just to say a little Christmas shout out to them both.
Yeah.
There you go. That's my one.
Have you got one, Dan?
Nice one. No shout outs this week. Except to a happy Christmas to all.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Every time someone says Vince gets a new set of wings,
I'm just going to fucking edit you out of this episode. I will take that corner away from you, Tony. Don't make me do that. Fucking hell. He's only doing it because I've got more time to edit it this week.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Thank you very much to everyone, and Merry Christmas to all. I just want to give a small shout out to Steve Tanner, who's been... he's had a few sort of medical issues over the past couple of months, medical troubles, bless him. But he's on the mend, and I think all's well, thank God. So,
Is he at True Believers, I think?
I believe he may be. He does a lot of shows, and I know, like, for instance, his book Flintlock, and which got a couple of issues of, is very good and well, you know, Time Bomb Comics. He's also got the most colourful jackets you'll ever see in your life. So you won't. Yeah, that's his thing. Our thing is just looking miserable.
Me and you wearing the same clothes, and Dan looking very handsome.
Yeah,
that works.
Yeah. Handsome Dan. Wasn't that the stuff from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? The hair gel. Wasn't it Handsome Dan?
I've not seen that film.
We need to repurpose a label or something, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Anyway, it's getting to that stage of the night, folks. You know it. You know it, you dirty pigeons. Anyway, recommendations. Tony, oh. I know you've got one.
Well, I have, yeah. Now, let me pose this question to you. If you were caught up in a sort of conspiracy of people trying to kill journalists and, you know, crooked politicians, what would be the first thing that you two would do?
Shit my pants.
Yeah. Probably have a bowl of crunchy nut cornflake.
Cornflakes, I think you find. What?
Yeah.
I like crunchy nut cornflakes. Yeah. Now, what
other brands are available?
Available.
Yeah, if you were, although they are available to sponsor us, if you were Cisco, the lead, Sisto Castiglione, the lead of this comic called Cisco, what you do, as soon as you drop in the shit, you go and find the president's sexy secretary, and you have sex with her in the presidential bathroom.
Yeah,
of course do.
I should have done that one instead of the choice I made.
Yeah.
So, this is a comic out of Europe Comics, who were Vince's Publisher of the Year last week. I bought it on Comixology, the first volume. Little tip to the buyer, if you're going to buy the first volume, it's $4.99 on Comixology and $5.99 on Isneo, so it's a little tip for you there. It's written by Benek, art by Thomas Legrain, and colorists, there's two colorists, Peng Wang Et and Studio 9, obviously a colorist sort of collective. I think there's 8 volumes available on Comixology at the moment as translation, but I think in Bande Dessinée on Comixology, I think there's 15, something like that. So it's definitely a growing concern. I had a day off a couple of weeks ago, and I watched 3 Days of the Condor with Robert Redford. Has anyone seen that movie?
No, I've not seen that one.
Really? I highly recommend it.
Go watch that. Yeah.
I got a bit sick of sort of present-day movies being written to a sort of, you know, some clever algorithm, and I thought I'm going to go back and I'm going to watch some older movies. I watched that, The Apartment, and I watched Phantasm, and I watched a few other things.
Another takeaway from this year for me, like, yeah, these big studio films that kind of write fucking films to formulas of kind of like going back to the older ones, where it's very just creative, a lot more creative,
and
a lot more kind of directorial control. That's where it's at.
Yeah. Now, 3 Days of the Condor is about a guy who sort of discovers there's a sort of conspiracy going on, and spends as named in the title, the 3 days escaping from the CIA and being attacked and stuff like that. Mm. Now, if you turn that around and viewed it as from the viewpoint of there's a little branch of detectives or government agents who protect the French president, and Cisco is one of them. He's a particular sort of live wire, rebellious, sweary, misogynistic, shoots straight away kind of agent, and it's about him. And he gets told, go and kill a journalist. So the message comes down from the president, go and kill this journalist, he's got some dirt on him. So he goes and kills him, and then he realizes that outside the window is the window cleaner watching him. So he then just basically spends the first volume going around trying to find the window cleaner to kill him. And try and make it look like an accident, and there's car chases, and you know, it's real sort of conspiracy, but it's I would put the speed of reading this comic is like watching a Bourne movie. It's that sort of thing.
Wow, nice.
Yeah,
really, really good. Legrain's art is I don't know, it reminds me a bit of someone like if you crossed a sort of French European bande dessinée style with someone like Mike McCone. Someone like that. There's a little touch of that about it. Very clean, very readable, very clear. Everyone in it is very distinguishable. Really, really lovely, lovely art. I don't like to say things as being, I think I've said this once before about it being typically French, and like having walked with a girlfriend through Paris, you know, and the wolf whistles you get from French guards, I think there, you know, there are different attitudes towards different things in different countries, I suppose. And maybe this harks back a bit to 10 years, 15 years ago, but he's just like this fucking bastard of a policeman with sort of no morals. And he just kills everyone at a whim, and he sort of argues with people and plants evidence, and you know, he's just got this sort of sneering look on his face, and he's not beyond just sort of stripping off a secretary in the toilet, you know, and having sex with her just to sort of cheer himself up before he goes on the run, you know, this sort of thing. It's it's just a great old school pulpy adventure series that is just like gorgeous to read. The car chases, you watch the car chases, it's like watching a movie, genuinely. The cover to the first issue is basically he's standing next to a sort of bust, a statue.
Oh, that's a great cover. All the covers are amazing, actually.
They are lovely, aren't they? Yeah, yeah. And there's sort of blood splashed up the bust, isn't there, sort of thing, the statue, and he's sort of him standing behind lighting a cigarette.
It reminds me of certainly a lot of the stuff that you've seen with Mark Miller's books, what they try to achieve with their covers.
Yeah, I mean? We said the same about the Vigilantes, didn't we, as well?
Yeah.
You know, he's got that sort of iconic cover, very eye-catching. He just doesn't care about things, and he just smokes. You know, somebody, he'll shoot somebody in the head and then walk off and smoke as the police arrive to investigate it, and he's like, I don't really care. You know?
Yeah.
Really good stuff. I'm up to volume 4 now. I've read a volume every morning this week. I think they come in sort of twos. Each story is two volumes, so there's a cliffhanger at the end of the first volume. But like I say, if you go to Comixology, the first volume, 50 pages, full colour, $4.99. A little bit expensive, but pretty affordable. And you'll just get pulled into it. It's really good. I'm actually sort of pissed off that there's only sort of 7 or 8 volumes translated, because I'm waiting for the next one to come out.
Yeah.
I don't think you can get, again, as with Europe Comics, I don't think you can get a hard copy. I think you have to buy it on digital only, unless you speak French. But really good stuff. Absolutely brilliant stuff. There you go. Smile.
Nice.
Nice.
My pick this week is another it's another European book. It's not Europe Comics, but this time it's from a Cinebook.
Okay.
One of their latest ones from there. Now, originally, Cinebook very kindly sent me a few of their latest sort of releases. Oh. And one of the ones that stuck out to me that I was going to read was Trent, which is all about when Jerome
Romance
was
on Romance Police, isn't it?
Yeah. I think Jerome mentioned it, the translator from Cinebook, about the Mountie at the end of the 19th century and like mystery and stuff. That really intrigued me. But within the small package I had, I also also noticed there was the latest book in Orbital. Not the comic shop, but the comic series. Orbital number 7, Implosion. It's one of my favourite titles from Cinebook, actually. I only had the first book before this, so I've missed out like 5 or 6 volumes.
Okay, so I've read the first one. Yeah,
I was thinking, you know, when I picked this up, I mean, I picked it up because it's absolutely gorgeous looking, but I thought, okay, here's an experiment. I'm going to pick this up and see how easy it is for me to get into it, considering I've missed several volumes.
Yeah.
Which I think is a massive sign for how good a book can be. Do you know what I mean? Even if it's an ongoing story, you've always got to look to new readers, haven't you, really?
Yeah.
And I will say that this is brilliant. And it's the authors, Sylvain Runeberg and Sergei Pell, or Pelle. I believe you've met one of them, haven't you, Tony?
Yeah, I met the writer at a thing at the Institut de Paris. They were doing a sort of European comic special, and I went along with Pat Mills. Who's the guy who runs Comica? Paul Gravett ran it. It was just a sort of it was like a very small scale, but with some big names discussing European comics, and he was one of them. And he's a very engaging guy. Yeah, really nice guy. Yeah.
The back of Orbital, I mean, to set up the bigger story, it's big. Is it hard sci-fi that's the like really big sort of spacey concepts?
I always forget
the
big ideas and
it's definitely like hard sci-fi. So you've got alien races and all mixed up together, and there's lots of politics go on. And as it says on the back of the first the latest book, Caleb is a human, Mazoki a Sanjar, representatives of their respective peoples. They must work together to preserve peace amongst the stars. This terrible responsibility will lead them into the very heart of intergalactic conflicts, for better or for worse. Now, I think if you've read any sort of European book, you know it's not just going to be simple black and white stuff. There's so many layers and political discussions and stuff going on, considering like race and, you know, just all kinds of things. But this one, this something's gone on in the volumes before. And a couple of the main characters are sort of on the run, and they're being hunted by the rest of this confederation. And when the book starts, they're stealing sort of like eggs from this insect sort of species, the placenta, as they call it. It immediately starts.
Okay.
Yeah, they call it, and I was thinking, oh my god, placenta, that's so gross. But it's, they're almost in this huge sort of like insect-like hive, like stealing sort of what they think are dead eggs of the, because they're worth a lot in space. And then they come across a live one, and then the insects that are on the planet realize what they're doing and come after them and start hunting for them. That's just at the beginning, and that was amazing. This whole book is just a thing of beauty, from the rhythm of the writing to the artwork itself. I mean, if you just look at the cover of number 7, just Google it, orbital implosion.
Yeah.
It's just such, you immediately know what you're getting in for there. There's these sort of huge, sort of towering cityscapes, you know, much akin to things like Ghost in the Shell, you know, these huge skyscrapers, Blade Runner, you know, if you like those, that sort of,
yeah, those sort of, I mean, for me, it's got, it crosses the line. It's a little bit cartoony in the characters' faces, but the backgrounds and the actual space vehicles and all that sort of thing are like really detailed.
Yeah.
So it's got a little bit of the more realistic, along with the sort of French cartoony style.
Totally.
Does that make sense?
I mean, certainly when I look at it, I think Fear Agent. You know, in the way that the characters have this.
That
yeah, this.
Yeah.
They're
the Tony Moore stuff, especially.
Yeah, yeah. Where Tony Moore has this sort of like animated face, but then there's so much going around it. And, you know, and a lot of the pages of this, it's all about the colour. You go from snow planets to desert planets to planets that are essentially just giant cities. The aliens aren't just different coloured people, if you know what I mean. You're not seeing blue people, green people. You know, this is stuff that you would see in the concept art of, you know, The Fifth Element or Star Wars or something, and you look at it and you think, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they're doing it on like so many panels. And it's a great sort of action adventure story as well. I mean, I don't want to spoil too much about what's going on. There's sentient living spaceships as well. That are coming back, and they're coming back and obliterating planets and killing thousands of people. So there's a mystery of like, why is this happening?
Yeah.
Lots of different layers, but I
must give that a go. It's on. Yeah. I tear through Cinebook the same as a lot of these European books. Where I just get. I read 13. I think I read about 10 in a row.
Yeah.
So it's one of those books that's on my list. So I'm going to start at one and just tear through again. Yeah. You know.
I mean, when I read the first one is lots of setup. It is lots of here it is.
Right. Yeah. That's one I read. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the political landscape. So it is a little heavier. So 7 was definitely more. You hit the ground running. You know what this, and it's not. New readers can pick it up quite easily, which I think, you know, if you didn't know the universe, you'd probably pick it up, get swept away like I did. Like, I'm going to go back and get the rest of the volumes now to catch up on it and see where we are, because it's just so good. It's one of my favourite ones that Cinebook do, and as always, you know, lovely sort of what size format would you call the Cinebooks?
It's a bit bigger than A4. I'll tell you what, they do different sizes though. Some of them are bigger than the others.
Yeah.
I think Orbital are the bigger size ones, but if you go to Aldebaran or Survivors or something like that, it's actually smaller.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Looking on the back of Orbital, the latest one as well, it seems like the story is separated into missions. For instance, the first mission, so, and everyone is told in 2 volumes. So if you want one, like, this is the 4th mission, which I think is probably, now looking at it, is why it was so easy for me to get into.
Because, good idea.
Yeah, it's a story. So, but I definitely pick it up, check out Cinebook.
And a little tip, if you're, obviously, Cinebook's digital provider is Isneo, which is a European... like a version of Comixology. If you've got an account, pay attention. Have a look in the spam emails that have come through from Isneo, because they're giving away a free volume every day. I'm not sure if it might run through Christmas. Actually, it's a Christmas thing, and they're sort of letting out 3 or 4 at a time. But I've heard a couple of volumes off them. They're really good stuff.
Yeah. And I got to say, another shout out to Jerome, who was a previous guest.
Yes, that was a really good episode. You know, I really enjoyed that episode. Yeah,
he's translated this as well. So yeah. As he translates most of their stuff, the guy's a machine. You know, there's lots of high concepts. So I can't recommend it enough, especially if you love that sort of the visualization of some of the pages remind me of that sort of the visuals of like Dune. Or, you know, those,
oh, really? I'm a big Duke fan. I must have a look at that.
You know,
then,
you're seeing huge hives, which are strange shapes. You know, there's things that you wouldn't normally see on a sci-fi book. So, yeah, great stuff. Okay. Yeah. So, nice there you go. That's my recommendation. Dan, do you have one?
Nice. I recommend it all the time, but Invincible, I'm the penultimate issue is waiting in the pull list, my pull thing at Orbital.
Oh, is it? Okay.
And I've read, like, most of the last arc, because I was kind of saving it up and I thought I couldn't wait and got stuck into it.
Because the last really story is like 12 issues, isn't it, I think?
Kind of wrapping it all up. It's kind of... There's a big fight near the end and it's like, holy fuck, it's really... I don't know how much further they could have taken it. So
I must say, I haven't followed Invincible all the way through. I want to go back and collect the trades and stuff. But I have been reading the last one because I've been intrigued by how they're going to end it. And it's beautiful artwork, isn't it?
I think it was Rob Jones was reading it during the week, saying he really liked it. He got to book 3 or 4. I think you have to get that far into it to kind of get a flavour of what it is. Mm. And it only seems to get kind of building it darker and more complex as you go on. I always feel it's like the comic book superhero that carries on where other characters stop. So, like, you've captured the bad guy, now what do you do to him? And then usually, like in Batman, he'll escape next week and you got to get him again. But in this, it kind of ponders those questions a little more. Yeah. It doesn't break it down, it just breaks it down in enough to kind of tell more interesting stories.
Yeah.
I'm all for kind of intelligent deconstruction and stuff, but just to do it and...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what...
One good story. So, as is evidenced by those two French examples we just gave, you know.
Exactly.
Exactly. Can I just give a little shout out to Matthew Rosenberg? I know we've mentioned him a few weeks running for his Punisher work and stuff like that. Mm. But I read Hawkeye and the Winter Soldier, Tales of Suspense, issue 100. If you're going to jump on a Marvel book, I'd highly recommend this. He's got. I've become a bit tired of people making Clint this sort of snarky, cliche, bullshit, cliche. Spilling idiot, but I think he's got him really well in this book. I think he's really captured him.
Nice.
And it's building up to a little mystery around Natasha and the Winter Soldier, and good comics. And I'll tell you what, he's a writer they should cherish at Marvel, because he's doing some great stuff.
Four Kids walk into a Bank, that was mentioned several times.
And I've read the Punisher The Punisher stuff, where he's stolen War Machine's armor, is really good. Mm. Based in Russia, he's fighting tanks.
I mean,
you know,
I didn't know he wrote that, and I don't normally. I would say I'm not into the idea of Punisher having, like, you know, War Machine armor. But the fact that he's written it, I might.
Yeah, I mean, he does it well, because he basically, like, Frank's in this armor, and they're saying, he meets his farmer, and the farmer says something like, "Oh, aren't there safety settings on things?" And he goes, "There are safety settings. Armor, turn off all the safety settings." And then he just goes and blows a load of tanks up. I'm like, this is really good. You know, it's like clever little bits like that, you know?
Mm. It's, going back to Punisher, someone was talking about, like, watched the first episode of the series and said, "Oh, enjoy it. It weren't too bad." I was like, that's weird, because out of all the TV series I've seen, the first episode of Punisher is completely unlike the rest of the series.
Especially the prologue as well. The prologue is in costume, and, you know, it's weird, isn't it?
First episode is completely like, it's more of, oh, now Frank's going to be taking on the underworld. But it's not that at all. Stick with it.
Great show. Cool. And this has been a great show. I think we can all agree.
Yeah.
I like the fact that about a couple of hours ago, we agreed to do a short show.
I know.
Over 2 hours in.
Yeah.
We did seem to kind of get quite vitriolic, and then we kind of burnt out.
We just haven't got it in us to be so negative all the time.
We're just too nice. People say that about
the time. Be interested to see what this sort of show's like next year. But we hope you enjoyed this show. Like I say, get in touch with us. We want more interaction with people next year. That's one of the things we really want. We want to get you people even more involved with the show and what we've got going on and things like that. So if you like what we talk about this week, or maybe you really violently want to disagree with us. Well, if you want to violently disagree with us, you can email us tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. But if you want to send us a nice email, send it to awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Likewise, send in those letters for the anthology.
Yes, please do. Say it again. Yeah. Think about what you're writing as well. Don't write a really long letter. Yeah. Write something that we can print four or five people's letters, you know, with a little sort of sarcastic reply or reply in, you know, in bold underneath. Yeah, have a think about what you're putting
in. And here's another thing to bear in mind. This anthology, as much as like we love it and we love all you guys, it is going to go out to a mass market as well. So in jokes won't necessarily go through.
Cut it.
Yeah.
So it's got to be like Joe Public picks up issue one and they're on board.
Yeah.
And then I get a letter saying, "Christ, they really hate you, don't they?"
Yeah.
Really? No, that's a joke.
We was talking about doing a brief sort of show or a one talking about our various anthology bits and bobs.
Yeah.
So that's on the launch pad.
Yeah, who knows? Just before True Believers, we may have a show where...
It's a great idea.
Should we invite a guest to come on and ask us questions about our comic?
Yeah, that's good.
Let's switch
the
script. I wonder
if Parkinson's doing these days.
Yeah. Waiting for the right opportunity. It's coming along.
Hey, Parky, my son, get back in the game. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and if you want to get back in the game, there's a number of ways you can contact us.
Follow us on Twitter @TheAwesomePod. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. Join that fantastic group we talked about earlier in the show, Awesome Comics Talk. I'm going to try to be more active on that. I really am next year, hopefully.
Yeah,
I think if I'm going to be more productive with the comics, then I'm going to get involved. At the moment, I just enjoy reading it, and that's
quite good. I do as well sometimes.
Yeah. And thank you for listening to us, whether it's on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com. Thank you again to the lovely people at Podbean for hosting us and putting up with us for another year. And if you listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, where else can they hear it? What other networks, Tony?
Pod Alaskan Freeway.
Ooh, beautiful. Which segues nicely into the last thing we're going to give you this week before we sign off. And that is the triumphant return of Daniel Butcher's Dictionary Corner.
Yes.
Dan, what have you got for us this week?
Just throwing out now. Okay, so we wanted to keep it festive related.
Yeah.
So we've got Christmas pudding.
Okay.
When you defecate down someone's chimney and wait for them to turn on the fireplace so to smell the burning boulder, commonly done at Christmas time. It's like, Daniel, holy shit, do you smell that? Florence, yeah. It's like someone's giving you a Christmas pudding, probably Santa.
Yeah. And to be fair, that was the least insulting of the two versions of Christmas pudding on Urban Dictionary.
Yeah. We've dropped another bit of knowledge for you. Yeah, there you go.
I could just hear 4P shouting out yes very loudly. He loves a bit of Dictionary Corner, that boy.
And we love all of you. And if you want to follow us, etc., where can people find us online, Tony?
You can follow me at ezoyz or please sign up to tinyletter.com/cockneykungfu. We've had quite a few people sign up recently, and Nick and I are both working really hard on putting stuff out there that will illuminate areas of the anthology that you might not have thought have been illuminated. And also, can I just get a plug in for Fanzine, which is coming out on New Year's Eve? It's a digital only download, which I think is going to be free, from our pal David Hathaway Price, who will be a guest in January. And it is celebrating 50 years of all fanzines in the UK, 50 years since the first one came out. It will contain the first appearance of Cockney Kung Fu in print. It's also got an article that I've written with an illustration by Dan. About what you are now listening to. There's all sorts of things in it. As I understand it, there's an Alan Moore interview in it. There's some really, really interesting stuff, which if you love comics, you will enjoy reading this. So it drops on New Year's Eve. Keep an eye on it. I saw he sent me through my pages, how he designed them, and it looks really professionally done. Really impressive. Yeah.
Awesome. I've been reading the movies you've been watching, and I watched The Fat Dragon.
Yes, when he fights Sam at the start.
Yeah, it's fucking, there's like there's a Chinese guy like blacked up.
Oh yeah, that is slightly embarrassing. Yeah.
I'm not sure what they was going through there. I couldn't work out like.
Well, I think what they were doing is they wanted three bodyguards. They wanted a white guy, a Hong Kong guy, and they wanted a black guy.
Yeah.
And I don't think, as I understand it, I listened to a podcast about that as well. I don't think they could get a black guy or somebody cancelled on them. So back in those days, I think it was what, 78 or something like that was made. It was, let's say, slightly less insulting. For a Chinese guy to put blackface on.
But it's no it's no less a poor decision.
I was just trying to work out the logic behind it, because you think, well, couldn't you just get someone else to kind of like, just don't have him as a black person. Yeah. But no, you kind of... they're riffing on the Jim Kelly thing because of Enter the Dragon.
It's a weird one to watch, actually, because I had to watch it on YouTube. Is that where you watched it?
I had to watch mine on YouTube.
There's a couple of different versions of it on there, and you have to sort of flip backwards and forwards between them. Some of them have got subtitles, some of them haven't, and some of them are like changed to German subtitles in the middle. Yeah.
There's the one dub on there, which I can't bear. Like, they've got the whiniest voice ever to do, like, Sammo Hung's character.
Yeah. I think the problem is, I don't know if you know this, but they looped all those films back then, so they never recorded audio at the time, because where they basically made them, there would be like a film, another film being filmed across the road, or they just do it in the street. And there's a couple of bits in that where you think they've closed up on Sammo because there's obviously just a crowd around them.
Yeah,
you know. So they recorded the audio later after the action. Always.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, interesting.
I was listening to Clint Eastwood doing that with the Spaghetti Westerns.
They did
that.
He just made it up on the.
Are you two quite all right there?
Sorry. Yeah, he was just doing the outro. Just doing the outro there. You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at VanguardComic.com. It's currently, I've got one last page to post up, and then it's on hiatus until I finish up Viper.
Cool.
And then it's back onto making comics again, so there's no Christmas break for Senior Butcher.
No. Yeah. No, work, monkey, work.
To be fair, if you're not making them, I'm thinking about making them, so there's very little difference.
Yeah, true. You can find me on Twitter at Jester Diablo, and you can find out more about my comic at theredmaskfrommars.com, which is going to be in the True Believers anthology as well.
I read that today.
Oh, did you
enjoy
it?
Yeah, very impressed, mate. Yeah, really good.
Oh,
yeah,
nice one.
That's a quality anthology as well. Loads, and it's all for charity. It's all for charity as well.
Yeah.
And it is. There's a lot of really good stuff on it. Stuart was, and I sort of cast an eye over it for Stuart, and we were chatting about it today, and it's really impressive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really good stuff.
Awesome stuff. Thank you for listening, folks. Have a holly jolly. Actually, people might listen to this when it's not even Christmas, so I'm not going to go too over the top. but wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Have an awesome time. Read lots of comics. Check out something you wouldn't normally check out in terms of comics. We've got a couple of good recommendations this week. Why don't you check out that?
Yeah, get on Comixology. Yeah. There's a load of sales on there at the moment. Go and take advantage of them. Yeah.
Post up any comics you get in the group.
Let's have a like Christmas presents thing.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
There you go. That'll be active by the time this show goes up. So there you go. You got no excuse.
See who got the most Funkos.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed 2018 I get that Royal Family Funkos.
Fucking start. Don't get me started.
We should have brought that up.
Dear God.
That speaks for itself. You don't need to say anything about that.
We finished on a
downer. I'd like to admit that I actually own a Funko. Have I ever told you this?
Yeah, you got the Big Lebowski.
Yeah, I would tease him because he said he looked like.
Johnny
T's like made.
Johnny T's made.
Yeah, God bless you, Johnny T's mate, and God bless you all. And
to all a good night.
Have a brilliant week. And as always, what do we say, lads?
Stay awesome.
Stay awesome. Yep.
Yeah.
Let's do that again. Ready?
Go on then. What do we say, lads?
Stay awesome.
That sounds so shit.
Yeah.
See you
just
next
run
time,
that whole
folks.
Bit. Fuck it.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
See ya.
wank for at least 45 minutes to get to sleep.
Same.
Fucking hell. Your forearms must be like mahogany.
Or it's a bit of an issue if I want to take a snooze on public transport.
Give it a minute.